Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 85 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou, and I have no idea why I'm wearing headphones, so I'm going to take those off right now. How you been?
I'm good. I have no idea why I don't have the mail open.
Yeah, why don't you have the mail open? We need to go through our mail.
I know. I'm going to it.
What's going on with you? Anything
I'm
new?
Opening the mail.
Anything exciting?
Just opening some mail.
I mean, any personal news you want to share with the rest of us?
Well, we will mention that I'm going on vacation next week, so our next podcast will be probably delayed a week.
Yes, but don't get any funny ideas because somebody will be at his house, so.
Huh?
I don't want people thinking that you're going on vacation, they can just go rob the joint.
True. Someone will be at the house.
So there you go.
I've got the mail. You ready for mail?
I am ready for mail.
Okay. First stretch. Told me to check out the Quickie, that's Q-W-I-K-I, for the iPad. Pretty cool little app. You and I just checked it out.
Yes, we did.
And it's pretty cool.
It's
an interactive Wikipedia.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool. The only thing that I didn't like about it was the creepy robot voice that reads the stories. Why, you know, here's the thing. Here's something that I always like. If you're going to use a creepy robot voice, you should at least give people the option to change it between male and female, and then different accents.
Right.
Like, if that voice was...
Was it an Indian accent?
Well, that might actually be more creepy. But I'm saying if it had, like...
Sorry to our Indian listeners.
Well, no, because have you ever heard Indian accent robot voices?
No.
They sound kind of creepy. Oh. I'm just saying. But if it had, like, a British accent...
Again, sorry to our Indian listeners. Here's
the thing, though. If it had a British accent, it would be less creepy, because that's not our accent, so it doesn't sound as weird to our ears, you know what I mean?
So you're saying that Brits sound robotic?
No. What I'm saying is that we're not going to notice them sounding as robotic.
I like them. I'd like it to have like a like Father Guido Sarducci accent.
In the last 20 years, Star Wars has amassed over $4.41 billion.
You know, that's so funny because I actually mentioned Father Guido Sarducci recently, and Brendan had no idea who I was talking
about. He's coming back, I'm sure.
You think so?
No.
No. He was pretty funny in his day.
Yeah. Very funny, actually.
do you remember when what's his name? Who was the goofy vice president? Now I'm blanking.
The one from Indiana? Dan Quayle?
Dan Quayle, right. When Dan Quayle was vice president, and he was on, and Father Guido Sarducci was on Letterman, he goes, "If I was the president, I would be very careful what I do. I mean, I would not let the man ride a helicopter. I would not let the man eat a clam." He was funny.
Yep.
And Brother Theodore. Kelsey just watched that movie, The Suburbs.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Uh-huh.
With Tom Hanks and Brother Theodore. The Burbs, yeah. The Burbs, sorry. And Wendy Shaw, right? Wasn't she in that?
I don't remember.
Shaw from Innerspace, who I love. But anyway. All right, so thank you, Stritch. That was a good recommendation.
What else do we have here? Stritch also was letting me know about the Uncharted. There's a trailer for the Uncharted multiplayer, which I have news on later in the miscellaneous.
Okay.
So thank you for that, Stritch. That's really it. We had some comments. Check out the fan page. There's some cool stuff on the fan page. I posted the trailer to Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And there's some comments on that. What do you think about it?
I agree with you. It looks like it could go either way. Like, the preview actually makes it look pretty good.
Right.
But I'm almost at the point now where anything with James Franco, I'm kind of like, uh-oh.
I'm not at that point, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It could definitely go either way.
But I'll tell you what. I thought the monkeys looked pretty good in a creepy sense.
Right.
Like, the way they're supposed to.
I agree with, I believe... Steve said this. Let me see. I agree that they shouldn't have "of the" in the title twice. Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Why?
It's too many "of the"s.
Yeah, but I have to say I wasn't crazy about some of Steve's suggestions either.
Whoa. All right, Steve, let's see what you put here. I'll read it as Steve. I think it will make everyone forget the other remake that will remain nameless. The name sucks, though. They need to drop one of the in the title and call it Rise of the Apes or Rise of the Ape Planet.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. That one. I like Rise of the Apes, though. I think that's better than Rise of the Planet
of
the Apes.
Yeah, but the reason that they called it that is because all the Planet of the Apes movies have Planet of the Apes in the title.
Right.
So, I mean, wasn't the sequel Return of the Planet of the Apes or something like that.
Wasn't it just Planet of the Apes?
No, the sequel.
Oh, the sequel.
I think I think at least one of the sequels had "of the" in it twice. So they're just hearkening back to a, you know, a grander day.
I have also posted a picture that I found on Facebook of someone has taken their dog. I'm guessing it's a, yeah, maybe it is a Yorkie or a Yorkie mix, but someone has made their dog look like Chewbacca.
It's amazing.
It is
amazing. It's amazing. And I don't even know. I'm not totally convinced there might not be a little Photoshop work going on in there, because it looks a little too good to be true. But it is amazing. I mean, really amazing.
Especially the mouth and the nose.
It's really funny. Definitely check it out. You should have posted it on the pause page, though.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, good.
That's it for mail, really.
That's it? That's all you got?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you want to get right into video games?
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, cool. So this week.
This is a big week.
It is a huge week for video games because Portal 2 came out and it is amazing.
Yes, it is.
First of all, cross-platform and.
Just between PS, not 360, just PS3.
So, for instance, there's a co-op multiplayer mode where you play as these two robots, Atlas and Peabody. And so Tony and I were playing the other day, and you were playing.
You from your PC.
Yeah, I was playing on my PC.
And me from my PS3.
It was so cool. Now, what I don't understand is why can't they do that with the Xbox 360, too?
Maybe it was some kind of exclusivity deal like Steam had with PS3. Because it all works over Steam.
Right. Right.
Not over, like, the PSN.
Right.
I was going to say PSN Network, but the PlayStation
right.
Network.
Right. Yeah, it's just so cool. And once again, the people at Valve are so talented at making these levels that not only are entertaining, but are also really clever.
Oh,
like
they're genius.
Okay, where you're
because
far enough,
they're not so hard that you can't. I mean, when you toy around with the level a little, you're
right.
able to figure out. Well, I got to do this at some point. So then you toy around with
you kind of like backtrack and figure out what you need to start
right.
with.
You know where you have to get to or what switch needs to be activated.
Right.
So, like you said, it's like figuring out a mystery.
Right.
But it's not so hard that, you know.
Right. Like, there are a couple levels that you and I are both past at this point. I'm in Chapter 7. You're in probably Chapter 6.
Right.
Yeah. And I think you said there's 10 total.
Yes.
So there have been a few places where we've both been to already that it's like you get into the space and you look around and you're like, I have nothing to work with here. How am I supposed to do anything?
Right.
And, like, you start to look around and then eventually you find something. And then that kind of leads you to other things. And then, you know, you figure out where to go from there. But one of the ones, I'm almost convinced that one of the levels I finished in a way that was not intended to be the way to finish it. Because I like, couldn't figure it out. It was one of the light bridge levels.
Okay.
And I don't remember the specifics of it, but that one was really tricky. But man, some of the stuff that you have not gotten to yet that I've been working on the last couple of days.
Well, we won't give anything away here, but what's cool about the game is you have the levels similar. I mean, there's new elements in them, but it's similar in the structure as the first Portal.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, the game completely changes.
Completely.
And it won't give any of the story away. But then like, you're doing things completely differently than you were before.
Right. Right.
And then you were telling me that it gets to a point where you're back to levels.
Yes, but it's not the same as it was before.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really, really cool.
And what's great about the co-op is that it's a completely different game.
Right, right.
It's the same concepts.
Right.
But
so you're the two robots and you're working together to get out of these multiplayer levels, which are totally different than the single player campaign. And really, really tricky because you have to do stuff back and forth. And a lot of times you're separated. So by elements in the play field so that you can't directly manipulate things with each other. But one of the really cool features of multiplayer is that if you have a headset or if you're playing on a PC and you have a webcam, it automatically activates the microphone.
Yeah.
So you can talk to each other while you're playing to tell each other what to do.
But even if you can't talk to each other, there's a gestures mode.
Feature, right.
Yeah, where there's a selection of things that, like, I can tell you, like, look over here or activate this.
Right.
Just from in-game.
We don't
need to be speaking to each other.
Yeah.
Another thing I want to point out, I tried the multiplayer before you and I played, and what's cool is that, like, if I get on and play with you again, it continues from where you and I left off. But if I play with someone else, then we start from the beginning.
Right.
So I would assume that if I played with that person again, it would continue where we left off.
Yeah, which is very cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, as always, the Source engine has improved since the last time I've seen it. I mean, the way the game looks on the PC is just stunning. The textures and the lighting and everything is just so good. It's so good, and it really makes me wish that they're working on some more Half-Life 2 or Half-Life 3 stuff, because I just want to get back in that world and play it the way that it looks now, you know what I mean? And with what they've done with character animation, like in the Left 4 Dead games and all that kind of stuff, which they, you know, advanced even beyond what was in Half-Life 2 and stuff. So, yeah, just another really, really spectacular game from Valve. It's interesting, though, how, you know, originally Portal was part of the Orange Box, which was like, what, $25, $30, and included all of Half-Life 2 and Team Fortress 2 and everything. And now it's such a big deal and such a big game that it's a $50 game on its own.
Right.
But what's really cool in the areas that you haven't quite gotten to yet is you really start to get a lot more story and backstory, not only of Aperture Science, but about who you are and stuff like that and some other stuff. And it seems pretty obvious to me. I mean, I haven't gotten to the answers yet, but it's pretty obvious already where it's going.
Right.
And it's pretty cool.
I can say the humor in it's very good, too.
It gets a lot better, trust me. Because some of what Gladys says to you is kind of one-note-ish.
Right.
You know, she's just, like, insulting you because she's still mad at you because you killed her.
Right.
200 years ago or whenever it was. So she just, like, keeps volleying insults at you. And when you get to the next part after where you are right now, there's a new voice that you hear. And I won't tell you who it is, but that...
Well, I know who does the voice.
You do?
Yeah.
Who?
It's J.K. Simmons.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, some of his dialogue is really, really, really funny.
Oh,
and
I look forward to that.
His delivery is just spectacular.
Yeah.
I mean, he is so good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah, even on that insurance commercial, he's funny.
Oh my God, he is so funny. His delivery is just so funny. And some of his dialogue really is very, very good in there. And there's so many like cool little details and little things that are hidden away in places. You and I both found one part of a level that had some stuff hidden away in it. In Test Chamber 7, did you steal something? Because I couldn't reach anything by the time I was by the exit.
Oh,
and it was the one where the field was broken. And she says, don't take anything. There's an achievement if you do take something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I couldn't get anything because I was already like on the platform and I didn't want to have to redo everything.
Right.
So,
no,
I didn't.
But I'm, you know what? That's a game that I would gladly go back and play
again.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And take more time and really find all the secrets and everything.
Right.
So, but yeah, just.
Yeah. In fact, people are posting a lot of the secrets online. I haven't read them because I want to finish the game first.
Yeah. And what's really great about it too is it's one of, you know, like there are a lot of games that I'll play and if I get stuck somewhere, I don't mind like looking up the solution because I just want to like get to the next thing. This is one of those games that you really want to figure it out. Because
there's such a sense of accomplishment.
There
when
is
you do.
Because it's so much fun.
Right.
I mean, figuring out the puzzles is just so much fun. And I cannot wait till you get past the area where you are right now because I'm telling you.
Well,
some...
let's get this over with.
Okay. So that you can go play again. All right, cool. But anyway, incredibly highly recommended. Definitely the best game I played in a long time.
And coming out soon is L.A. Noire. If no one has looked at the trailer of that, in fact, you and I should do that in the next break. Just looks amazing. That comes out, I want to say, the 17th of May.
Yeah, and I was telling you, there was a company that used to make adventure games either for the Apple II or the PC, and it had the word cinema in the name of the brand, but I can't remember the name of the company, but they did a game like that. That I remember playing and really
this is probably
enjoying.
A little better than that.
Yeah, I would hope so. But I like the idea of that. I mean, and I think I did see the trailer for it. It looked
no, we're gonna
cool.
look at it anyway.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Look at just relax over there.
I'll try to get out of it.
No, I'm not getting out of anything.
I haven't played anything else.
No, me either.
No,
me either.
I played a little more. You Don't Know Jack.
Yeah, you just said you didn't play anything else. So which is it?
Well,
which is it, sir? You seem to be changing your story.
Okay, forget it. Ready for miscellaneous?
Yes, please.
Nintendo will announce their next console at E3 in June. Insiders are already saying that it will be HD, more powerful than both the PS3 and the Xbox 360, and will include a touchscreen controller.
That's crazy talk.
Is it, though?
That's like a free iPod with every game system.
Yeah.
Except it's not an iPod.
Right. I wonder if they're going to... I have a feeling that they're going to try and... Not exclude the child-friendly stuff, but they're going to try to
downplay
really,
it.
aim more at adults this time.
Yeah, well, they should.
Because I think that's what kind of hurt their lasting appeal, is that those kids that loved it then, you know, are growing.
Right, and they want to play the PS3 and the 360 now.
So I think they need to...
You think they'll call it the Wowie?
Did you see this one website? It called it the Wii 2, but like the 2 was two more little I's, so it was W-I-I-I-I.
Like,
yeah,
I did see that.
That's funny. Industry sources say that Microsoft and Sony are planning on releasing their next consoles in 2014.
Which means that Nintendo will have at least 2 years of unchallenged next generation sales.
Yeah. The Little Big Planet community now has over 4 million user-made levels.
That's insane.
That is insane.
Have you played any of them?
No, I need to go back to that.
Yeah.
But I've got so many other games right now that I haven't finished.
You do have a lot of games, don't you?
I do. The beta for Uncharted 3's multiplayer experience will begin on July 5th. PlayStation Plus subscribers and those who purchase Infamous 2 will have access to the beta on June 28th.
Nice. That's
pretty cool.
That is cool.
And finally, Sony has pulled the plug on the PSP Go. All production is stopped and all future sales will be limited to current stock.
Didn't that just come out?
Yeah, like a year ago. Yeah. You know, they're coming out with the new one, the NGP.
Okay.
And that's the one that has the little touchscreen on the back.
Oh, right, right.
And looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the one that had no... none of the discs. You just had to download everything. And like,
right. That seemed like a bad idea.
Yeah.
And apparently it was.
Yes.
Because nobody bought it. So. I don't know anyone who has one of those.
I don't know a single one.
I've never even seen one in public.
I have seen one at the stores.
But I mean outside of the stores. I've never seen one in use.
Me
have either.
No.
No. I wonder if they sold any.
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway. So is that it?
That's it.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about TV. We have a lot to talk about.
I mean, we've both watched a lot of things.
I
have to say that I did not see yesterday's American Idol.
What?
I worked.
What?
So I have not seen it.
What? I saw it.
But I will say, while we're speaking about American Idol, that last week was a wonderful week on American Idol.
You're so mean. You're just a mean person.
He's
no, he's not terrible. He's not terrible.
Terrible.
Not terrible. Not terrible.
Should have never even been there.
He's better than your favorite, Naima.
She was never my favorite.
And how about, so you missed last night. All the people who have been voted off so far came back to do some number, like some number together.
Terrible.
It was ridiculous. Ridiculous. And Naima was jumping around the stage like she was on some kind of weird drug. She is so crazy, that woman.
Yeah.
Some of the other people I've forgotten about already. Ashton, forgot about her.
All right.
See, he forgot about her too. But last night was a decent show. It was more of a mix.
Because I have to say, last week's performance show I thought was great.
It was. It was very good.
It was really good.
It was very good.
I'm a little confused. Well, not confused, but I really thought last week Stefano was excellent. I thought he was the best of the night, and he was in the bottom two.
I don't remember even remotely thinking that he was the best of the night.
I certainly thought he was best of the night.
Imagine that.
Yep.
Did you vote?
I did not because I was working.
That's why he's in the bottom too. No, I mean last week.
I was working then too.
Oh, okay.
I have a job.
Okay, I'm just saying.
In the evenings.
Maybe you shouldn't work on Wednesdays. That's all I'm saying. If you care about your favorites.
Apparently I don't care about them that much.
You don't. You really don't care about your favorites. It was nice to see Pia again though.
Yeah. She's actually on... Is it tonight? Tonight's Dancing with the Stars.
Well, she's dating one of the guys.
Mark Ballas. Yeah.
And he was on Idol last night.
Oh, was he?
In the audience.
Yeah.
As was John Noble from Fringe. And Steven Tyler's daughter, Mia, I want to say.
Okay.
Who did not get the looks lottery prize the way
she's
that Liv
heavy,
did.
Right?
Yeah, she's just, you know, she's more of like a goth rocker
kind
of looking girl.
She doesn't have Liv.
What?
She doesn't have Liv Tyler's...
No. Liv Tyler's pretty attractive.
They have different moms.
Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because Liv Tyler's
pretty...
Well, that story.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
She
thought
that
Todd Rundgren
was
her dad,
right? Until she was a teenager.
Wow. Because she's pretty nice looking.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Although, I don't like the baby talk, but I think she's gorgeous.
And she does have that thing going on where she always looks like she's about ready to cry.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
Just like Neve Campbell.
Yes.
By the way, do you know anyone who saw Scream 4?
No.
Okay.
Do you know anyone who wants to see Scream 4?
I wouldn't mind seeing it. I enjoyed those movies, you know? But if I only got to go see one movie right now, that would not be it.
No.
So I probably won't see it for some time. Anyway. Okay, so American Idol, Paul left last week.
Yes.
Right. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that the person going home tonight is going to be Jacob. That's going to be my guess.
I don't care what he did last night. He is not going home.
It has nothing to do with talent. I'm just saying.
He won't go home.
Why? Why do you say that?
He won't.
Why? You like him too much?
No, I just don't think he'll go home.
Why?
Because he's good.
But that doesn't mean anything on this show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll see.
Especially the further you get into the season. I mean, you know, obviously, usually the person who is the best singer either comes in first or second.
Right.
So, but I don't think he would ever have come in first or second.
I don't know.
Come on. Look at the show historically. When has somebody that gospel-y ever gone that far? Never. Ever.
Well, he's just slightly more gospel-y than Ruben Studdard.
No, he's almost Lakeisha gospel-y.
Okay. Or Mandisa. Remember Mandisa?
Yeah. Oh. Exactly. He's almost like there. You know what I mean?
Okay, so. I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Yeah.
I think him being the only African-American left,
yeah,
we'll keep him on for longer. That's my main.
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, because they
look at the demographic of who votes.
Huh?
Look at the demographic of who votes.
We tried to look at that last week. We couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's girls. It's young girls who are voting for Scott, Stefano, and James.
I actually read something on Reality Blurred this morning saying that producers had toyed with the idea of trying to not make it so the girls keep getting voted off, because they realize that that's the reason the girls keep getting voted off is because girls are voting and they're voting for the
cute boys.
Yeah. And they toyed with the idea of doing something to adjust that. And then like people stepped in and said, well, no, then you're tainting the whole.
Right. Exactly.
The
you
whole
can't
thing
do
is,
it.
You know, there's no credibility to the thing at all.
Right. If you want different people to vote, then you have to make the show appealing to those people.
Right.
And incent them to vote somehow. Maybe give away a car other than the Ford Focus. Maybe try a station wagon, something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm just saying.
All right, let's move on.
I'm just saying. I actually watched the finale of Being Human.
Uh-huh.
And I saw about half of the second to last episode. And I will say I enjoyed the characters and the casting a lot more than the UK version. I really liked them a lot. And I thought the finale was pretty good. Did you like it?
Yeah, I loved
it. Yeah, I thought it was good.
I loved it, but I have to say, in fact, let me pull up his exact words.
Now, while you're looking up whatever you're looking up, I don't
you mean
think
a slam on me that.
No, I don't think that I would ever say that I love the show as much as you do, just because of the type of show it is. It for me, it's not that heavy weight of a show where I could.
It was earlier.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't get that vibe at all.
It was earlier. There's some stuff that went on that's like you'd never see on network TV.
Yeah. Okay.
Involving children.
That sounds creepy.
It was creepy.
Okay.
Just hold saying. On. I got to find, before we leave the Being Human topic, I got to find Stritch's Slam, which, you know what, has a little validity to it. So I'm gonna own up to it right here.
Okay.
Right here on the air.
Okay.
Or on.
This is the first. On the wire. Right here on the live wire.
Here we go.
Wait, you want a real computer?
Stritch's exact words. Tony, I watched the first two episodes of season one, feeling pretty meh about it. It feels like a CW soap opera to me. Does it get any better? Seems like it's all been done before. And I will own up to the fact I kind of get the CW soap opera quality to it.
Yeah.
I don't feel it's, you know, I don't feel like a teenage girl watching it. But okay. I see it a little.
Well, that's kind of why I was saying that. Like, it just doesn't have enough weight to it to me. Like, I don't equate darkness and weight. So,
well, I mean, after watching the first few episodes, I thought the first few episodes were a little meh. I agree with him, but then you know things start to happen and you feel invested in the character. So you know that's why it was the one show. I mean, there was not a lot of things on at that time,
right?
That you know, I was as excited about.
Yeah,
or I mean, that were you know
I'm
my favorites.
You,
like Walking
you
Dead wasn't on at the
to
same
get
time.
Into Fringe. You got to get back into Fringe.
Right now, I don't have that kind of time. But then I said to Stritch in our thread here that thanks for making me feel like a 14-year-old girl obsessed with Twilight. And then his, his reply, hey, if the fake vampire teeth fit.
There you go.
So thank you, Stretch.
Wah, wah. All right, so what else have you watched?
I want to mention I watched the last two parts of Mildred Pierce.
Still good?
Absolutely incredible. In fact, one of better than any movie I've seen in probably the last 3 years.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It will definitely win the Emmy for Best Miniseries, Best Actress, and Best Supporting Actress.
Think so?
Yes. And probably one of the best movies. I'm going to call it a movie because that's what it is, like a 6-hour movie I've ever seen.
Wow.
The end was unbelievable. And it's completely different. If anyone's seen the Joan Crawford 1945 version,
which I have,
the ending's completely different.
Okay. And I'll try to catch that. I just heard a weird sound. Did you hear that?
No.
Like a weird, almost like a plumbing sound, but
no,
with a tornado attached to it.
No.
Boy, that's strange.
Maybe you have scrubbing bubbles.
No, I don't have scrubbing bubbles. Not in the bathroom anywhere.
You know what? You
should
actually get some scrubbing bubbles.
Wow.
What else do we have here? Okay, I watched a couple new shows. I watched that new show that's on Thursdays, Happy Endings.
I don't know that one.
Or is that on?
Wait, what channel is that on?
You know, I don't know. I think it's, no, I think it's on the same night as Modern Family.
On NBC?
Yes,
ABC?
On ABC.
Okay.
Terrible.
Well, who's
terrible
in it?
For many different reasons. Alicia Cuthbert.
Huh? You mean Jack Bauer's daughter?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's on it. The girl from Saturday Night Live from a couple seasons ago, you won't know her. There's also the guy from Flash Forward. Remember the doctor who was going to kill himself?
Yep.
Yeah, he's on it.
Okay.
And the whole premise on the pilot was that him and Alicia Cuthbert, it's so hard to say her
Elisha.
Name. Is that it? Elisha?
I think so.
I don't think it's that.
You don't think so?
No, that makes no sense.
What is going on in here?
I'm rubbing my...
Yeah, but did you hear that thud?
No.
There were two thuds.
Okay.
There's like a major thud and a minor thud.
Here.
I know.
We
well, I'm going. Being distracted by thuds.
Why don't you just tune out the thuds?
All right.
They're supposed to get married, and at the altar, she changes her mind, and she like runs away.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the episode, she kind of regretted it, blah, blah, blah. And it's about them and their group of friends. It's kind of a Friends ripoff a little, especially since, remember the pilot of Friends? It was Rachel running away from her wedding.
That's true.
So they're trying to be like the new Friends, but not funny. It's set in Chicago. There's nothing Chicago about it other than the picture of the skyline in the opening credits.
Yeah.
There's one character on there that's supposed to be gay. Absolutely no.
I mean, not a gay person?
Not at all.
Oh.
No. Not like any I know anyway.
Yeah.
It's terrible. On the other hand, the Paul Reiser show. Now, I'm not a fan of Paul Reiser.
Now, I heard that show was awful.
It was really?
I heard it was awful.
I laughed out loud a couple spots.
I heard it was like
I mean, I didn't love it.
I heard it was
I probably won't watch many episodes of it.
Yeah. I heard it was a terrible Curb Your Enthusiasm ripoff.
It's a Curb Your Enthusiasm ripoff. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But and Larry David's even on it.
Yeah. I
read
that
too. But
there
were some really funny like little moments in it.
Yeah. He looks a lot different. Paul Reiser.
Well, he's older.
Yeah.
What else is different about him?
Well, he's got less hair and he's bigger.
Well, he's
like
older.
That. Yeah. I'm just saying. I didn't recognize him at first.
But I'm just saying, I don't like Paul Reiser as a role.
Yeah.
But there were some moments I laughed.
Yeah. Were there any Paul Reiser, other Paul Reiser vehicle references? Like at any point did he say, this is not my locker or anything like that?
No.
Yeah. That's too bad. Because that'd be
fun. But, you know, he's playing himself. So he's, you know.
Oh, he is playing himself.
Oh, yeah. It's like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's playing Paul Reiser, the actor.
Right. Who's out of work and his daughter. There's like a profession day at work, and his daughter's supposed to talk about what he does for a living, and she doesn't know what he does for a living because he's not doing anything.
That's funny.
So he tries out to host a game show, and the funny thing is, it's like a quiz show, and the contestants are really stupid, and so he can't help but make fun of them. So like that whole exchange, hysterical.
Yeah,
yeah. No, it was funny. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it did not get good reviews at all.
No. Well.
Yeah,
because it's a blatant ripoff.
Yeah, that
but
is kind of
whatever.
Weird.
As long as it's funny, you know. I don't
now,
care.
Does he when Larry David was on it? Does he talk to Larry David about his how his show? Does the show exist on the show?
No, you know what? Maybe I don't remember that. But the reason he meets with Larry David is because he knows that Larry David is trying out for a game show as well.
Oh,
and
okay.
They find out it's the same game show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I gotcha. All right.
So as long as they bring funny things in like that, I'll watch it. Yeah. Celebrity Apprentice. Sad episode of Celebrity Apprentice.
Why?
Gary Busey fired.
That's shocking.
No, it's shocking that it took this long. I mean, because he really made that show. He's nuts.
He's
He's so nuts.
He is.
I mean, there's still
person.
Other nut jobs on there. LaToya's still on there, so he's still got that. But really, that is just 2 hours of nothing but nutballs. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
But that's it. You got some new ones here.
Yeah, we've been watching Breaking In, which is that new comedy after Idol on Wednesday nights. Uh-huh. And it's been really funny. In a lot of ways, it feels kind of like Community. There's a lot of, you know, fast-paced banter and stuff like that. I know you're not crazy about that.
Yeah. But I'm certainly not crazy about Christian Slater.
It's, you know what? I really like him. Yeah, I loved him on My Own Worst Enemy. I was sad that show got canceled, and he's good on this. He's funny. He's not serious. You know, it's a comedy. But, yeah, so...
I think you could say he's going to make me like him.
I don't care if you like him. I don't know the man. I honestly don't care. You know, I was sick for most of last week, and so I watched a lot of TV because I was in bed all week. And I watched a few episodes of Kitchen Nightmares, and I have to say I really enjoyed that show.
Yeah.
It's
Were you watching the British version or the American
I watched both, and I prefer the British one. The reason I like it better is because it seems less staged. It seems more about the actual restaurant and less about other shenanigans.
Right.
And I also don't like the narrator on the U.S. version, whereas he narrates the British version.
Oh, okay.
And just kind of talks through what's going on. And I just prefer that format. The American one almost seems like made up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like there was this one with a chef on Long Island who was like really cocky, and his girlfriend's parents actually fronted the money for the restaurant. Did you ever see that one?
No. And I've only seen a couple episodes.
They've been dating for 6 years, and her parents put up $500,000 for him to open this restaurant, an Italian restaurant.
So why wouldn't he marry her?
He's never worked in an Italian restaurant. And they paid $500,000 for him to open this restaurant.
Well,
and he thinks he knows everything, refuses to taste any of his food, just cooks it and sends it out. And everyone thinks the food is terrible. The only reason they're still in business is because he has a $14.99 early bird special every day. And so all these old people come in and eat food. And there's so much food that they don't have to come back 2 days in a row because they always have like 2 or 3 days worth of leftovers.
That's funny.
So he, you know, does all this stuff, first of all, to try to get them to fight less because they're always all fighting because, you know, they're always mad at each other.
Are they kind of like loudmouth Jersey Shore type?
Well, they're loudmouth, you know, Long Island Italians.
Yeah. And, so yes would be the answer.
No, because they're not, I mean, I've never seen Jersey Shore, but from what I've heard of it, those people are like straight out of Central Casting. And these guys are just typical loud Italians. They're not like, you know, they're not stupid. They're not, you know, they're just, they're just, you know, a little hot headed.
Right.
So at the end of the whole thing, you know, he gets people coming into the restaurant and things are really turning around and everything. At the end of the whole thing, what's his name? The guy, the chef.
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay gives the guy a ring to give to the girl, and he proposes to her there on this first, like, grand reopening night. And then Gordon Ramsay's like, and we've arranged for you to get married right here tonight. And so then they get married. It's like, come on. This whole thing was just, like, made up.
And it was just done on Flash Mob the week before. Or what was it called? Mobbed?
Oh, I don't know. But, I mean, it was kind of weird. And the next one I saw that was one of the American ones, this guy had opened a restaurant in the place where his brother who had died used to have a bar, but this guy had never worked in the restaurant business. He was in the construction business. So the place was tanking. The food was no good. The chef was terrible. So they replaced the chef. They've got a good thing going. They finally start getting people in there. They start making a lot of money and everything. And then like a month after Gordon Ramsay was there, the guy's like, you know what? I really want to get back into construction, and closes the restaurant.
I've never seen one end that way.
It was pretty
usually
funny.
What you see when he goes back is that they've gone back to their old ways.
Yeah, and they didn't revisit. They just did a little, you know, title tag thing at the end.
You know, I think that should be a lot better if they spent the last 10 minutes on a revisit. Like,
yeah,
and a little ways down the road. Not like a month later, but do it like 6 months later.
Right, but I actually really like Gordon Ramsay. I didn't think he was that abrasive.
No, that's all for show.
He's like
on
more
that
of a typical, like typical British sense of humor.
Right.
When you watch him in the UK version, he's much different. There's a lot less swearing. He's not mean to people. He's just like, he ribs them.
Yeah, but you know the producers are probably like, you know, play it up for the American audience.
Absolutely. But I really enjoyed that show. Then we also watched a couple episodes of Law & Order UK, which stars, among other people, Jamie Bamber, who was on, you know, Battlestar Galactica, and Freema Agyeman, who was in a couple seasons of Doctor Who. Actually, very good.
Yeah.
Very good show.
And is that on BBC?
Yeah, it's on BBC. And then we've been watching Top Chef Masters.
Let's
talk
about Top Chef Masters.
Yeah, I don't really care about it.
I'm done. It's so boring.
It is.
You know what? It's hard, first of all, following Top Chef All-Stars, which was the best season of Top Chef I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just don't care about any of those people, except for one who I worked with, Mary Sue Milliken.
She seems great.
Yeah. She actually was, she's the partner, and I mean business partner because she's married, the partner to Susan Fenniger.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. She was the other chef there. Yeah. Okay. How was she to work with?
She was fine. Of the two, Mary Sue had a bit of a...
attitude?
Not a temper. No. They were both very nice. But she would lose it, I'd say, every once in a while.
I could see that.
They were both nice. You know
I could see that.
I mean, chefs lose it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, she was nothing... I've worked for much worse chefs.
Yeah, you want to start naming names?
I don't want to say anything bad about her.
You want to name names of some people you worked with who you didn't like?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
I'm just saying. It'd be kind of funny.
But they know who they are.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But
so,
yeah,
you know, I'd like to see her do well, but...
You know, she is doing well so far.
Well, she almost went home the first one.
Yeah, but
For that cupcake, which we served at the restaurant I worked at.
Now, they made an implication regarding that cupcake that she was like the first chef ever to do like a molten chocolate cake kind of thing in a restaurant. Like 20 years ago or something like that. Does that sound reasonable?
Maybe. We had one when I worked for her.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, she's famous for that, and they gave her a hard time about it because, first of all, she'd been doing it for 20 years, and it wasn't that good.
Right.
So, yeah, we missed the second episode, and we watched last night's episode, but I kept falling asleep.
I don't even think we're taping it anymore.
Yeah, I kept falling asleep during it. I was so tired last night.
I'm over it.
But, yeah, I just kind of don't care. It's hard for me to care about the celebrity things. Because they're already established.
Right. And they're not really doing it to better themselves.
Right.
It's almost like they're on vacation.
Yeah. And it's more uncomfortable because when they do poorly, then I'm like, wow, this guy's been a chef for 35 years and now he just came across like a complete moron on national TV. So it's like, good luck with your career moving forward. no, you know what I mean? And actually,
well, that's a little extreme.
No, it's not because one of the people quit last week. And
oh, really?
that was one of the things he said. He's like, you make one mistake on the show and you send a 35 year career down the drain. He goes, people are going to
think that it's career ending if you get kicked off of Top Chef Masters.
Well, apparently there are some people that are complaining that people stop going to their restaurants after seeing Top Chef Masters.
I don't believe that.
So whatever. I'm just saying. But yeah, it's just not as interesting to me. Although I do like Curtis Stone. I like him a lot better than Kelly Choi.
Yeah.
That's for sure. He's, he's entertaining.
Yeah.
So, and then a couple other things. Nikita has gotten really, really excellent. We've really been enjoying that. It's not on there, but I wrote it in. And then SGU has just been absolutely phenomenal.
I thought that thing was ending.
It got canceled, but they're finishing the season.
How much more is there?
Three more episodes.
Okay.
So this episode was really cool. They go down to this planet. They come out. First of all, they get attacked by the drones that they've been attacked by before. They come out of FTL and they go down to this planet and they hear something in the bushes and all of a sudden these two teenagers walk out of the bushes and they're like, and the teenagers are like, oh my God, you're so-and-so and you're so-and-so and you're so-and-so. And the people from the crew are like, how do these kids know us? And why are there kids here? And they're like, you're the ancestors. You founded our civilization 2000 years ago. And so they realize that in one of the previous episodes,
not very realistic.
In one of the previous episodes, it's kind of complicated, but they figured out that because of something that happened, a duplicate of their ship went back in time and they must have crashed and they started this civilization and it grew to like millions of people and there was something wrong with their planet. And so they were going off onto other worlds to investigate possible places to relocate.
Right.
And then they lost touch with their home world. And so now they were stuck here. Well, now the drones like followed the destiny there. And so they attacked the planet. And so now they've taken all these people, this 100 remaining people onto the Destiny, and they fly to their home planet and everyone's dead. All the millions of people are dead because
have the duplicate planet.
No, this was the was the planet they founded 2,000 years ago. They think that what happened is some like massive volcano went off and just like the whole planet was covered with ash.
Was it 2012?
It was not 2012. Oh. It was now. But from 2,000 years ago.
Ah.
So... It might have been 2012 years later.
You know, that could never happen.
But anyway, it was really, really cool. And then finally, the last thing that we've been watching that we've really been enjoying is Storage Wars. Have you ever seen that show?
I think so.
It's actually really entertaining. It's really cool. you know, it's these people who go and they bid on lockers that have been abandoned because people stop paying for them or whatever. And a lot of times there's like just junk in them. And what's interesting is before we had seen the show, I assumed it was just different people every time. But really, it follows the same four or five people. Uh-huh. There's the guy and his wife who are the auctioneers. And that's what their company does. They just auction off storage lockers. And then there's a guy who him and his son have a thrift store. So they buy stuff to sell in the store. There's another guy who just buys stuff because he wants to find like rare collectibles. There's another guy who has a bunch of employees and who used to have a furniture store but turned it into a thrift store after he got a DUI and had to do community service at Goodwill and saw like how good of an operation that was.
Right.
So he does that. And then...
So cut to the chase. So do they find like rare...
They find some cool stuff. Yeah. They find some really cool stuff. Like the one guy who him and his wife have a store, they bought this locker and they were really upset because they didn't find anything in it that was worth anything. They were really excited because they found a safe in the locker, but it was unlocked and they opened it up and there was nothing in it. And so one of the other guys... you know, who is one of the four people, comes in. He's like, did you get anything good? He's like, no, there's nothing here, man. And they had paid like $750 for the locker. So he's like really bummed now because there was nothing in it. He goes, and the other guy's like, dude, the safe. And he's like, no, he goes, it's open. There's nothing in it. He's like, no, the safe. He goes, that safe is worth like $3,000 or $4,000. He goes, it's like 110 years old. And, you know, because this guy knows all about antiques and everything. Right. And so the guy went and sold it, and he sold it for $2,800. So he actually ended up making, you know, a nice little profit.
That's all
it.
Those storage units are going for is like $750?
So one of them bought one of them for $3 on one of the episodes we watched because there was like barely anything in it. But then he found like a ton of stuff in it.
So they know what's in it before they buy it.
What they do is they open it and they can look in, but they can't enter and they can't open any boxes even if they're within arm's reach. So they can look in. So everyone gets to look and see what they can see.
Now, is that for the purpose of the show or does that really go on?
I believe that really goes on. And because it's all part of the auction guy's speech at the beginning of every auction. But
that'd be an interesting field to go into.
Some of the things were really cool. Like this one guy, Dave, who's like the jerk of the group. He bought this one locker. I think he paid, I forget what he paid. It was like $1,500 or something. And he finds a stack of newspapers and he starts looking through them and they're all identical. He's got 3,000 newspapers that are from the day that Elvis died. Uh-huh. And so he takes them to this antiques guy who's an Elvis collector. And the guy's like, well, actually these are worth something. He goes, these are reprints, but they're official reprints by the paper that originally did the original, and they're worth like $5 each. So now all of a sudden his $1,500 investment is worth, 15, you know, 15 grand.
Yeah.
And then he opens them up. He goes, actually, Dave, you've got two different papers here. He goes, this other one that's tucked inside of the first one. He goes, this isn't another section of the same paper. This is a different paper. And these are original. These are worth probably about $20-$30 each. He had 3,000 of them. He ended up selling all those newspapers for 90 grand.
Oh my God.
And he paid $1,500 for the locker.
We
it was crazy, crazy. And then these other people bought this one locker for $750, this husband and wife, and they there was like nothing in it. It was just all junk. They didn't think they were going to be able to sell anything. They open a bin and they find a bunch of action figures. Open another bin, more action figures. Open another bin, more action figures in these black cases. And they're like, these look like they're worth something. Some of them were Star Wars. Some of them were original Wizard of Oz toys.
Wow.
They took them to this collector. They made $18,000 off the stuff that they found there.
Wow.
The stuff was like pristine.
But there are times when they like get nothing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the one guy who's the collector who just buys stuff to like find rare stuff. Uh-huh. He buys stuff all the time that there's like nothing valuable in. He ends up selling like so many power tools because that's like, you know, people store a lot of power tools in their storage lockers and stuff. But it's a really cool show. There's some very interesting stuff
cool.
on there. Yeah. And the collector guy is really funny, too. So when they cut away to him talking.
What station is
this on? A&E. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's a good show, though. All right. You want to go into miscellaneous?
Sure. Julie Dreyfus will play the first female vice president in an HBO comedy series titled Veep.
I don't know how I feel about that. Who else is going to be in
it? It's an HBO. Anna Chlumsky.
Anna Chlumsky.
Remember from My Girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has she done anything since then?
Was
she like 30 now?
I don't know. I like Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Uh-huh. And it's on HBO, so that'll give her a lot more room to...
swear?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, swearing makes better television.
Absolutely.
I'm rolling my eyes right now.
I know. AMC, the network behind Mad Men, is developing a reality show set in the world of advertising. The Pitch, which is the name of it,
yep,
will follow top advertising agencies as they pitch new accounts.
It could be good, yeah, or it could be lame. You know, I kind of feel like it's free advertising for the advertising agencies and their clients.
Right.
So I don't know if, you know, I don't know if I want to support that with my TV watching hours.
Then don't.
Okay.
Donald Trump has decided to use the live finale of The Celebrity Apprentice to announce whether or not he will run for president.
He's not going to run for president.
A lot of his life would have to change if he ran for president. He could no longer make The Apprentice.
Right. Well, do you think if he's going to be president, he would care about making The Apprentice? Who would vote for him?
You know, right now he's leading the polls.
Really?
For the Republican Party, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Number one out of like 10 people.
President Trump.
I would really move out of the country if Donald Trump
You would not.
Would.
You. Where would you go? Canada?
Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
Where? Toronto? Vancouver? Vancouver's pretty.
That's the most ridiculous. I mean, we're not going to talk politics at all, but Donald Trump as president is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just leave it at yeah.
Yeah.
Steve Carell's final episode of The Office next Thursday will be 50 minutes long, and for no apparent reason, so will Parks and Recreation.
What is up with that? Read the story about China.
Where is it?
Oh, you didn't get it? Okay, hopefully this won't stop. Right, I got to make sure this doesn't stop recording.
You read the story about China.
Okay.
Why do I got to
so
read the story
this,
about China? You read it.
This Brendan sent this to me to read.
Brendan, researcher and fact checker.
There you go. China, I'm just going to read this because it's too perfect as is to mess with. China doesn't want to go back to the future or the past. The Chinese government has banned any depiction of time travel in TV shows and films because the plot element, quote unquote, disrespects history. In a statement on March 31st, China's State Administration for Radio, Film, and Television, otherwise known as SARFT, said that fictional time traveling in programs, fictional time traveling, if it's non-fictional time traveling, it's fine. Fictional time traveling in programs casually make up myths, have monstrous and weird plots, use absurd tactics, and even promote feudalism, superstition, fatalism, and reincarnation. Time traveling Chinese shows have been prevalent as of late, featuring protagonists going back to ancient times and writers taking liberties with events. Producers and writers are treating serious history in a frivolous way, which should by no means be encouraged anymore, SARFT said. The issued guidelines discourage producers and writers from using time travel, along with any elements that contain fantasy, random compilations of mythical stories, bizarre plots, absurd techniques, if they want their programs to stay on the air. SARFT, however, has the power to pull the plug on any show whenever it wants. That is crazy. The ruling comes as the Communist Party celebrates its 90th anniversary this year. Follow the central spirit of the CPC, which is the Communist Party, I don't know what the rest of this is about the Communist Party. I don't care about that. Is that ridiculous or what?
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. No more time travel in China. Unless it's nonfiction. Then it's fine.
Damn commies.
All right, that's all we got for TV. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right, cool. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. Before we do that, Brendan just asked me if I thought Brandy from Storage Wars is kind of hot. Uh-huh. And she kind of is. Yeah. Kind of like Girl Next Door kind of hot. Yeah. You know what I mean? Anyway, just want to throw that out there.
Okay.
See what
Duly
you think.
Noted.
See what you think. Ladies and gentlemen, chime in. Okay, so what have you seen?
I saw a little movie that came out a few weeks ago on DVD. I saw it on Vudu.
Was it that little of a movie?
Well, it was never released in the U.S.
What?
It was never released in the U.S. in theaters.
Well, how did I hear about it then?
Maybe over the controversy about it never being released here.
Oh.
I mean, it stars Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you may have heard it because of that. But it was never released. Let me tell a little of the story first. Jim Carrey plays a gay con man. And it's a comedy. And it's actually very funny. But there's some darkness to it. And he ends up going to jail over and over. But while he's in jail, he meets Ewan McGregor, who's also gay. And they kind of fall in love. But it's not so much a love story as it is a comedy. But it's dealing with gay issues, it's pretty graphic.
Yeah.
Probably more so than any movie dealing with gay issues I've seen.
Right. Is that why it was never released here?
Well, that's what people thought. So okay. Then, you know, it became this big, oh, they're not releasing it because it's gay, blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't that at all. I did some research on it. It was because they showed it at Sundance and did really well. It's actually really good.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. But it did really well at Sundance, and this company picked it up. But then someone didn't pay someone, like the company that paid it.
Oh, for rights or whatever. Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. So they weren't able to show it here.
I gotcha.
But it had been reviewed, like people had seen it at Sundance and in other countries. I mean, it was released in all the other countries and really critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
It did really well. But I have to say, I mean, there are a couple scenes where you're like, well, I mean, maybe they took that a little too far.
What's the thing that I'm the most curious about is what's the Philip Morris reference?
That's Ewan McGregor's name.
Oh, really?
In the movie, yeah.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah. It's actually based on a true story.
But having to do with the cigarette people?
It has nothing to do with cigarettes.
Oh, okay.
It has nothing to do with cigarettes.
It's just convenient.
It's just his name.
Very convenient.
But it's a true story, and I think that was really his name.
I thought it was a true story about somebody who just, like, loved to smoke.
No. No. Mm. But it's really funny. And Jim Carrey's great in it. And Ewan McGregor, it kind of reminded me of what a great actor he is. He's fantastic in it.
Now, would you say he's better in this than he was in the Star Wars prequels?
You know what would have been equally as funny if you said, because I hated him in this as well, is Moulin Rouge.
You know what? I actually kind of enjoyed that movie.
I didn't dislike Moulin Rouge. I thought it was him in Moulin Rouge.
I went to see it begrudgingly because we actually went to see it to make fun of it because the trailers made it look like the worst film ever produced. And so we went to see it to make fun of it. And we actually laughed a lot. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. I didn't hate it. I just didn't like him in it.
I didn't like the Madonna scene. I hated that. I hated that part of the movie. And there were a few other parts of the movie I didn't like. John Leguizamo gave me the creeps in that film. Yeah. Big time. But, you know, going back to American Idol, the song Nature Boy, covered by David Bowie, right? In Moulin Rouge? No. Wasn't it?
Well, in Moulin Rouge, it's them singing.
But weren't there two versions of that song?
I don't know.
Oh, anyway. But Casey sang that last week on American Idol and was awesome. That was a great performance, you got to admit. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think Ewan McGregor's a fine actor when he's got good material and a director.
No, he's
not
great
insane.
In this because he wasn't like anything he'd played before and it was really believable. I mean, he just has a wide range is what I'm
he
saying.
Does.
It's certainly apparent here. Jim Carrey is still kind of Jim Carrey-ish in this, but he's great in it. I think it's one of his best roles. I liked it.
You know,
but there's a couple graphic things in it.
You know, going back to Moulin Rouge, you know what I dislike the most about that movie?
What?
I just can't see getting all that worked up over Nicole Kidman.
Oh, actually, I think she's beautiful in that movie.
I don't like her look, and I don't like her, and whatever. Whatever. It's not my business.
You think Jenna Fisher's sexy, I know.
Dude, trust me on that one. Okay,
you don't like glamour, that's what you're saying.
I saw Source Code, which was really good.
Yeah.
That's the one with Joe Geronimo, and a.k.a. Jake Gyllenhaal. He plays there's very little you can say about this movie.
Because I do plan on seeing it, so don't.
Okay.
How does it show Chicago? How does it showcase Chicago? Good showcasing of Chicago? Or is it just all on a train?
It's fairly minimal.
It's all on a train, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fairly minimal. I mean, you see the skyline and some other stuff, but it's fairly minimal.
Which train line was it?
It was fake. It was the, it was the CCR. The Chicago Commuter Rail.
I'm already out. Yeah. That's ridiculous. There's no such thing.
I know. And it's also Creedence Clearwater Revival. So.
Oh, yeah.
Down on the corner, out in the street, they got Joe Geronimo making movies with his feet. I don't even know what that means. But,
very nice.
Thank you. But it was a really, really good movie. Vera Farmiga is one of the actors
like
in it. Love her.
Did you ever see that movie? I talked about it when it came out. Up in the Air with her and George Clooney?
I did not.
Oh, you have to see that movie.
I heard it was a great movie, very good. Yeah, I'd like to see that. I really like her. I think she does a lot of these she does a lot of little indie movies and kind of, you know, more artsy films and stuff like that. And I think she's actually a really good actor.
She's great.
She's great in The Departed. Very compelling. Yeah, although I didn't like that movie.
Not a huge fan of that movie either.
Yeah.
Overrated.
Way overrated. Yeah,
I agree.
Should never, ever in a million years have been put into the same category as Goodfellas and The Godfather.
Not remotely. I agree. We agree on something.
Yeah, there you go. But I highly recommend it. I don't even want to talk about it because I don't want to give anything away. But it was really cool. I had a very cool story, and I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
Let me just ask this. Could it be shown in China?
You know what?
It could not. Could
Debatable.
It? Fair enough.
Debatable.
Fair enough. That's funny. All right.
But, no, probably not. Probably okay. Not because they ruled out any quote unquote bizarre plots. So this would.
That pretty much rules out most things.
Everything.
Doesn't it?
Right. Everything. Yeah.
Okay. Animated film and critical flop Rio had the highest grossing weekend of 2011 last weekend with over 40 million in ticket sales.
Now, my neighbor, Betsy, said that she saw it because she has three granddaughters.
Oh, I was going to say.
And she said
Betsy, the older woman
the
who
best
lives next
movie
to
she's seen in 3 years.
What?
That's what she said.
Well, first of all, she needs to see Mildred Pierce on HBO.
Okay, she would never watch that.
Really? Does she see, like, most animated movies?
No.
Is it the only movie she's seen in the last
probably.
3 years?
Yeah, probably. I'm going to say yes.
All right. Casting has already begun for Steven Spielberg's next project, an Abraham Lincoln biopic. Daniel
Our name is Abraham Lincoln.
Daniel
Day
Lewis.
LINCOLN.
You know what?
Daniel Day Lewis will play Lincoln?
See, if you would have just listened to the rest of my sentence.
I am in.
Daniel Day Lewis will play the title role with Sally Field playing his wife, Mary Todd Lincoln.
Isn't
Sally Field much older than Daniel Day Lewis?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe she may be older than Abraham Lincoln.
I believe she actually knew Mary Todd Lincoln.
Is her nickname in this movie also going to be Froggy? Just like it was in
what?
In Smokey and the Bandit?
No. Speaking of Spielberg.
You know how she got that nickname?
How?
Well, she's kind of cute like a frog, and I like to jump her.
You know what? That was worth it.
So there you go.
Spielberg's film Catch Me If You Can is now a Broadway musical. The production is already open to some pretty sour reviews.
Sour.
That's my wording, by the way. The 1994 film The Crow is the latest film to get a remake. Bradley Cooper is in talks to star.
Man's in everything now.
That's a terrible casting decision.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper. What was the guy's name originally?
Brendan Lee.
They're basically the same guy.
Yeah, not at all. Kate Beckinsale is the latest name in talks to appear in the Total Recall remake.
I am in. She is dishy.
She's not a great actress, though.
No.
You know, I never saw any of those Underworld movies. Are they any good?
Yeah, the first one's really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's probably on Netflix. I'll check that
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Bill Nye's in it.
Yeah.
Like him? No, not Bill Nye. Bill Nye.
Very good, Brennan. And finally, the on again, off
there's
again.
There's more. There's something else. This is not
oh,
finally.
This is
I
not
got
the
something
last.
Else.
Oh, don't go anywhere.
No.
The on again, off again Lone Ranger project is apparently on again with Ryan Gosling said to be starring as the masked hero. Johnny Depp is still set to play Tonto.
Could be interesting.
It could be.
Okay. Now, we talked about this before. We're going to talk about it again. You made fun of me because I
Lady
want...
in the Water?
No.
I will continue to make fun of you about Lady in the Water.
No, because you said that I would not be able to come up with any viable choices for who should play Lara Croft in the new Tomb Raider movie. So I have here a list, and I want you to look these people up, and I want you to tell me, these are all British actresses, I want you to tell me looks-wise what you think, all right? First one, her name is Michelle Keegan, K-E-E-G-A-N.
Now, this is requiring too much.
No, it's not. It's great, because people then can go look this up, and they can let us know what they think. So what you want to do is look at images.
I don't like her face.
Okay.
Really, I don't
Okay,
like
next one, Haley Atwell.
How did you find these
Just
people?
Trust me on this, okay?
I know, but I went up.
I did research.
You're stalking young girls.
No, I'm researching.
How do you spell Haley?
H-A-Y-L-E-Y.
See, I wouldn't have spelled it that way.
Atwell, A-T-W-E-L-L.
Haley Atwell. Okay.
Could you see it, right?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, next one, Amy Jackson. That's an easy one. Let me know if you need help spelling.
You're a jerk.
He is looking up Amy Jackson.
No.
I don't like her. Okay, Kelly Brook, who I'm sure you've seen before. Wasn't Kelly Brook in that Piranha movie that was out last year with Richard Dreyfuss that
I
saw?
Yeah, the only one that saw it.
No, Amy saw it with me. So that's at least two people. But
okay.
Okay,
that
right?
That's, yeah.
Okay, next one, Aruna, A-R-U-N-A, Shields, just like Brooke. Aruna Shields. Now, she's a little bit more, you know, exotic looking, but that's fine.
It's so funny. I'm you know how it, like, it gives you a list of I'm halfway through Shields, and it's still...
A-R-U-N-A?
It ends with an S?
Yeah. A-R-U-N-A?
Huh. It's not a popular...
No, it is, actually. It came up right away when I Google searched it.
You know what keeps coming up? Is Private Moments video.
I don't know what that means.
Apparently it means she does nudie stuff.
No, I don't think so. I think she's a regular actress. What do you think?
She does nudie stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right? You can see that one. Okay, the next one. You don't have to look this one up because you already know her. Gemma Arterton. She could play it, although...
I don't know who that is.
She was the female lead in Prince of Persia.
Yeah, I like her, but I can't see her in that role.
Okay. Next one, Allison with one L, Armitage. There's only two more after this.
You know, I live right by Armitage.
Yeah. Do you live right by anyone named Allison?
No, but I have a friend named Allison.
So there you go.
No.
No?
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, big no for that one.
Louise Cliff with an E at the end.
She's like a whore.
That's a horrible thing to say.
She
doesn't even know her.
In the pictures that came up, she does.
Louise Cliff with an E at the end. C-L-I-F-F-E. So if you want to call her Louise Cliffy, go ahead.
Well, look, nothing. Nothing comes up for her.
That's impossible. I found her picture in a search.
Okay.
Right, maybe.
Maybe.
And last one. Now, you may have to use your imagination a little bit with hair on this one.
Uh-huh.
But Lauren Cohan, C-O-H-A-N. She was on both...
How did you find these women?
She was on both Supernatural and Chuck. She's been on Chuck. Yeah. But look at her face.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So these are all British actresses. They're all young. I think, you know, at least we got at least three or four, even by, you know, your selection here, which is obviously biased against anything I say. at least three or four good contenders there. I don't think they need to cast an American. I mean, I'm willing to
go
Australian.
You know what I say to all that? I say give it to Kim Kardashian.
No. No, not at all. But anyway. All right, you got anything else for TV?
No.
Or movies, I mean? No?
No.
All right, cool. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about everything else. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
Moosh, moosh.
Before we get into all the articles... which I have prepared for us today.
Yes.
I'd like to mention that
I could take a nice little nap in here.
You know what? Try interacting for a change. How about that? Okay? Try weighing in with an opinion, insight.
I could see it's all car stuff.
It's not. Just
the
first few things.
No,
the first few things are car things. I wanted to get them all out of the way, and the rest of it is not car related.
All right. So I could,
you know,
take
last,
like a 2 minute nap.
Last time I was complaining about the lack of like sort of folk rock groups.
Uh-huh.
And Brendan mentioned this band called Fleet Foxes.
Uh-huh.
And listened to a couple of tracks off of their new CD. I have to say, excellent. What was the name of that last one that we listened to?
Helplessness Blues.
Very, very good. Very strong track.
We'll look that
up. And really good sound. Really good sound. Yeah. Definitely like a throwback kind of band. But yeah, I recommend them. I enjoyed listening to them. Yeah, there's two big auto shows going on right now, the New York Auto Show and the Shanghai Auto Show. And so I just want to talk about some car stuff really fast, and then we'll get this out of the way.
Yes.
The Mercedes A-Class will, in fact, be coming to the U.S., shown off at both New York and Shanghai. The A-Class is Mercedes' competition to BMW's 1 Series, and it'll be initially available as a 3-door with 5-door and sedan models to follow after it goes on sale. But we don't know when that's going to happen. The one that they showed at the show was like totally space-age futuristic looking, but I don't think it'll be that cool when it gets released. The new VW Beetle was also shown off at both shows, and it looks much better than the concept that they'd been showing off. It's got a more streamlined look than the outgoing model, and the interior is a lot less cartoony and girly, which I think was probably a conscious decision on their part.
Sure.
In terms of the less girly factor. Because, you know, it used to come with that, little stupid Bud Vase, and
right.
I don't see a lot of guys having bought that car.
No.
But so it looks a little bit more aggressive now. I bet you they're going to pick up a lot more dude sales with that one.
Did they replace the Bud Vase with like a bong? Because that more guys
that,
would buy it.
That was a beer can holder. Yeah. It only fits beer cans. Fiat will sell its 500 Cabrio here in the U.S. just in time for spring. Now, you've seen pictures of that.
Yeah.
Very cool little car.
I saw it on TV.
Very cool. It's got a sliding cloth roof, so the whole roof is open. But what's cool is the door and window sills stay intact because it's just the
roof
that slides back.
Now, what confuses me about that sliding cloth roof, because they show that you can keep it just like open halfway.
Yeah.
If you're going down the highway, wouldn't that rip off?
I don't think so. I mean,
it looks like it would.
It's in a track.
I know, but there's a little like it comes up a little.
Right, but the
it doesn't slide into something. It folds itself up.
I think it's in a track between the door sills, and so it just slides back in the track.
I saw it on TV.
Oh, really?
The day working, yeah.
Okay.
No, it kind of folded itself up.
It might be one of those things where they say you can keep it halfway open if you're going like under 50 miles an hour or something like that. So
read the fine print.
I'm sure there will be some damages there.
Yeah.
But it's very cool
looking.
Because
that's all I need is riding behind one of those on the highway.
And having the thing fly off and hit you in the face. And then you're going.
Right.
Like that.
Exactly.
They're not saying exactly when it'll go on sale, but soon is probably pretty accurate. The tiny convertible has a sliding cloth top. And we already said all the rest of that.
Yes, you did.
VW has also shown off the first version of its new green energy microbus concept called The Bully. Why would you name a car The Bully? That is a terrible name. They might want to reconsider that. It has an electric motor and integrated iPad interface. So you plug the iPad into this dock on the dashboard, and you can control a bunch of the car's functions through the iPad.
That's cool.
Which is a cool idea. Yeah. I like that idea. Hold on, I got to close my email program because it's doing stuff it's not supposed to do. Okay, so that's all I have for car news. This is a horrible story. A Toronto student from Beijing was video chatting with his girlfriend in China when there was a knock at her door. She answered it, a guy came in, they struggled, and 10 hours later, the girl's body was found in her basement apartment.
Why would you put this in here?
Well,
this is an entertainment podcast.
What about you ending a segment with beloved so-and-so dead? At least this is technology related. The guy watched it happen. How horrible is that?
Have you seen the video?
No.
I saw a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it disturbing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they like parts of it they didn't show, but
yeah.
I mean, just knowing that like she's alive in that video, like when you see her and then, you know,
and then not.
Moments later, she's not.
Right. Walter Bruning, the oldest known man at age 114, dead in Montana of natural causes, apparently.
Or because he was bored in Montana.
That could be. A perfume company called Farganay. Is that even a real name? Farganay has introduced a duo of bacon-scented colognes, citrus and spicy maple. I am going to get me some spicy maple bacon cologne.
You know, my favorite bakery down in the city, Dinkles. Have you been to Dinkles?
I'm sorry,
by where I used to live. It's on, yeah.
It's
on Lincoln, right by where I used to live.
Yeah.
They now have, and it's all the rage, they have a maple bacon donuts.
Okay, when I worked at Dunkin' Donuts when I was in high school, they had maple frosted donuts.
Maple bacon.
Is there actually
donuts.
Bacon in the donut?
Yes.
Oh, I want one.
Yes.
Can I have one?
Yes.
Did you go to that secret donut shop, by the way?
The donut vault?
Yeah.
No, it's ridiculous. People stand in line for like 3 or 4 hours.
It's not even open, right?
And well, because they just open around 8:45.
Oh, okay.
And they only make 600 donuts, and once they're sold out, they're sold
out.
That's it. And they sell out in like 45 minutes. So you could be standing in line for 3 or 4 hours
and get nothing.
And not get a donut.
You get no donuts at all.
Because some of the first people are buying like 100 donuts. Now, what I would do is be the first in line.
Buy 600
buy
donuts.
All of them.
And then sell,
and then
them,
sell
them
for twice
10
as
times
much.
The price. Don't you think somebody's tried that already?
I don't know. I'm sure they
but
have the,
don't they all only make the same donuts every day? Or do they change them up?
But there's some crazy, like, there's like chestnut frosted.
Ugh.
No, that sounds good.
Oh, God, I hate chestnuts.
You don't like anything.
No, I just don't like chestnuts.
Oh, really? You want me to name the list of all the other things you don't like?
Go ahead.
You don't like chocolate and mint together.
I don't like mint.
You don't
mint.
Like fish.
I do not dislike fish. I just don't prefer fish to beef or chicken or pork or whatever. I eat fish.
Okay. If it's breaded and thrown in a taco.
No, that's not true. I've enjoyed a nice swordfish, nice mahi, you know?
Swordfish? It's not even like fish.
What are you talking about? How is that not a fish?
I mean, it's a fish, but it's not. That's not like eating fish.
What are you talking about? How is that not? How is eating fish like, not eating fish?
Because it's no, you can't compare swordfish to other.
Here comes
fish.
Tony's food snobbery again, ladies and gentlemen. The man who thinks that Diet Coke doesn't belong in restaurants.
It does not belong in fine dining restaurants.
Oh, please
get
over
your go back
get
to
over
that.
Your food snobbery self. I want one of those bacon donuts. Apple is in a bit of hot water now that people have discovered that the iPhone tracks you wherever you go and stores all of your location data from everywhere you've ever been in an unencrypted file that anybody can get to. This file is also backed up to your computer, and there's no way to turn off the mechanism that does this. The FCC is asking Apple what the heck is going on, and Apple is not talking. People are starting to speculate that Apple and Google have both been forced by some part of the government to do this, and that's why they're not talking, because they don't want people to know that the government is making them track people.
Ah.
So I don't know if that's true, but that's one of the theories that's floating around out there.
Conspiracy theories.
It's not mine. I read it. I didn't come up with it. Apple news.
I mean, you like your conspiracy theories.
I do love a good conspiracy theory. I really do, especially when they're true. In other Apple news, although there likely won't be a new iPhone in July, there could be a new one this fall, maybe in September. If true, it would likely be a relatively small update with processor and camera tweaks, but not much else. And a white iPhone 4 will be available this spring. So again, sometime soon. Match.com has begun screening daters to weed out sex offenders. This after a woman sued Match.com when she was sexually assaulted by a date.
And she will win that case hands down.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what they're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Why do you think that?
Well, I mean, that's read your sentence again.
Well, but they're not responsible for the behavior of somebody.
Match.com, like, weeds through. They like, interview people. They don't just take everyone.
You're thinking of something else. Match.com, you just go and fill out a form online.
Are you sure?
Positive. I know people who use it.
And
anyone
can go. They would never pass an interview.
No, I'm just saying they don't do any interviews.
No, I don't mean like interview, like you sit down with someone. I mean like they're selective about who they choose.
No.
They don't take
absolutely
everyone.
Absolutely not. Oh, absolutely not. See,
there's one of them that doesn't take everyone. Harmony, maybe.
eHarmony?
Maybe eHarmony.
I don't know. But that's definitely not Match.com. But okay. Now they're
but
trying.
But still,
to,
they're going
to
lose.
Yeah. I don't think, honestly, I don't think they should lose. How can they possibly be responsible for the behavior of somebody who signed up for their service? That would be like saying that would be like going after their, you know, email provider and saying, why did you let this sex offender use email?
No, because the purpose of this is to
right. It's the purpose people. Of it is to meet people and date. The purpose of it is not to sexually molest people.
I think they will lose.
Well, whatever. I don't think they should lose.
I think they should lose. I think you should lose.
I am not on trial here. Geophysicists have discovered.
I think you have. never mind. Go
You're trying to come up with something and it didn't happen,
it's
did it?
Not gonna happen.
Geophysicists have discovered, alarmingly, that the underground lava plume that feeds the Yellowstone supervolcano is actually 400 miles across. Previously, it was thought to be about 150 miles across, which is still scary. 400 miles.
That's a big lava plume.
We are all screwed.
That's a big lava plume.
We are all screwed, ladies and gentlemen. Verizon's Fios cable TV service is getting a new widescreen guide. Version 1.9 of their interactive media guide is higher resolution and has new search features, DVR enhancements, better support for 3D TVs, and more. If you're a Verizon Fios customer with a Motorola...
Who's got this?
It's big on the East Coast and in some other places. We don't have it here.
I've never even heard of it.
It's fiber optic. It's like 10 times faster than Comcast. Fiber optic, like right to your house, which is really cool. Not just to the...
Right.
Central location. If you have a Motorola 7100 or 7232 or a Cisco HD box, you will be getting the update soon if you haven't already. Researchers at the University of Maine have invented a golf ball made out of lobster shells. The lobster balls.
You'll just throw anything in here today, won't
the
you?
The lobster balls.
This truly is the moosh moosh.
Are biodegradable, so hitting them into the ocean won't bother the fishes. That's actually pretty cool. Early builds of Windows 8 have leaked out, and one interesting thing is that it looks like it can actually be run, not just installed, but run from a USB stick. That's really cool, because if you got like a little netbook or something, you just want to run your Windows 8 on there. Go for it. Aston Martin has teamed up with Mobiato.
Hey, wait. These were all supposed to be at the beginning.
This is not a car thing. Ah. It's a cell phone thing.
Okay.
Sort of. Aston Martin has teamed up with Mobiato to create a concept transparent glass cell phone that'll work with Aston Martin cars. It'll unlock the car when nearby, can upload photos from the car's built-in cameras to social networking sites. Can you believe that? Their cars have cameras built in so that you can take pictures of people inside the car and outside the car. And then once this phone is docked in the car, it'll upload them to Facebook and stuff like that.
That's too much.
It can even control the airbags and seatbelts in the event of an accident to help ensure maximum protection. That's pretty cool. A researcher at MIT has created electricity from water so efficiently that someday in the near future, your home could be powered for an entire day from just a couple bottles of water. That is so cool.
Wow.
Toshiba has a new line of hard drives that self-encrypt and auto-erase if the drive is taken out of your computer and plugged into another one so that your data cannot be stolen. Scientists have discovered that the magnetic fields coming from light waves are actually 100 million times stronger than previously thought, which could mean a whole new way to harness solar power. We've always focused on the light energy rather than the magnetic energy because we thought the magnetic energy was way too small. Uh-huh. And now they found out that it's at least as powerful as the light energy. And so people are starting to really rethink
that. Sounds like one of your conspiracy theories, actually.
There's nobody really gets hurt by this, so not sure how that's a conspiracy or whom it would be against. Acer's Iconia Tab A500, which has got to be one of the worst product names ever, will be out in a few days. It's an Android 3, aka Honeycomb, tablet computer with a 1 gigahertz processor, a gig of RAM, 16 gigs of storage, a 1280 by 800 screen, 2 megapixel and 5 megapixel front and rear cameras, and it's only $450.
And will be around for about 2 months.
It sounds cool. We'll have to see. It actually comes out, what's today? Thursday, Friday? Comes out on Sunday?
That doesn't make sense.
Maybe it comes out Saturday. It comes out pretty soon.
I get the iPad 2 tomorrow, according to my tracking.
Congratulations.
Although it hasn't left China yet, so I don't know how that's going to happen.
Well, you know, these things can go kablonky sometimes. Finally, a 75-year-old Georgian woman was collecting scrap metal. By the way, Georgian as in the country Georgia, not the state. Was collecting scrap metal and cut up a piece of what she viewed as valuable material that turned out to be fiber optic cable. And when she cut it, she cut off the internet in Georgia and Armenia. Oops. So that brings us, as always, to the point in the show where we talk about our best and worst entertainment moments of the past week or two. Tony, please, would you give us your worst? I know you will.
Would you plead like that? I'm going to have to go. I'm going to say the first episode of Happy Endings, but I'm going to talk about something on a little grander scale. Oh. I'm going to talk about these new shows that keep coming out that are terrible, that, like, you wonder how they even get greenlit.
Yeah.
Like that one and the one that just ended that was on for, like, 3 weeks or whatever, that Perfect Couples. Like, they're
never
just
saw
terrible.
That. Yeah.
They're not realistic. I mean, the characters are just like,
yeah.
So,
well, but isn't that the history
down?
Of sitcoms though?
Yeah,
is that
but it's
just
I don't.
Most
it.
Of them are really bad.
But I mean, it just
this is not the days of just, Norman Lear. Okay.
No, it's a sad statement about, you know, the people that watch those and
well,
keep
but,
them on the air.
But that's what happens when shows like According to Jim are on for 10 years,
right? Or
is
Two
people,
and a Half Men,
or people want to keep making those kind of shows because there's an audience for them.
I don't understand it.
Really?
Yeah, I guess I do. But it makes me mad. It's my worst entertainment moment of the week.
Okay. My worst, I'm going to have to give to Top Chef Masters. I just don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't care.
I have to agree.
And it's kind of like the first little chink in the Top Chef armor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they've built this nice little empire.
This should be the last season of the Masters. Because like you said, when the stakes are higher, you know, when it's someone trying to build
their
career rather
yeah.
than, you know, coming in and taking a few days off from their restaurant.
Right.
You know, it
means and I think, you know, I think we talked about this or we at least alluded to it when we were talking about this before. But I think there's an inherent problem with Masters, which is that after the first season and the chefs saw, you know, how it could go either way for them, I think there's more of a risk for them of looking bad
right.
than there is of not winning. So they tend to not really be as adventurous with what they cook because they just want to not lose.
And I have to say, how many of those, you know, the first couple, and I'm in the industry, the first couple, I knew who maybe half the chefs were. This one, I know one. And I only know her because I worked for her. I wouldn't know her otherwise.
Right, right.
I mean, I don't know any of those chefs.
Yeah.
I mean, so are they really, I mean, yeah, they're masters because they've been doing it for a long time and they have their own restaurant. But,
right.
But, I mean, you certainly can't compare any of the ones on this one to...
First or second season.
Right.
Right. Right. Yeah, and I think that's the problem. The stakes are not high enough. Yes, they're playing for charities, and yes, they're good causes, but the stakes are not high enough personally for them.
Right.
And so it's just, it's not that interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, the Just Desserts was more interesting to me, you know? Plus, I like Gail.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so that was my worst. Do we both have the same best?
No.
No, really? You're going with...
I'm
going
to have to go with Mildred Pierce.
Mildred Pierce.
I know. I was teetering between Portal and Mildred Pierce, but Mildred Pierce really is...
That good.
It's that good. And
yeah.
Kate Winslet is just... Oh, my God. I didn't mention it before, but in the last two parts, they show her daughter grown up, and she's played by Evan Rachel Wood.
Sure.
Amazing. Yeah. I have such a great respect for her. In fact, I saw her on a talk show like a couple days after I had seen that, and I really like her.
Yeah. Now, she... She got her start in that movie 13, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, even then, it was like, wow, this girl is really, really talented.
You really have to see her in this. You know, I'm sure it'll come out on DVD, and I'll certainly get it. But if there's any way you can find it, like,
okay.
You have Comcast at the new, although you're not going to sit at the new place with no furniture and watch TV. But
there's a couch down there, though.
So. But oh, it's just amazing. Guy Pearce is excellent in it too.
Is it on demand on Comcast?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. In HD. Maybe I'll record it.
And it's beautiful.
Maybe I'll just go record it just so we have it.
Yeah.
Although I'm waiting to have my boxes switched out. You know, maybe this should have been my worst entertainment moment.
Ah.
I ordered the black boxes. Uh-huh. The, I forget what it was.
Reverse racist?
No. You mean racist? you know, I ordered the black boxes because they have bigger hard drives in them. And they brought the old junky silver ones, not even the silver and black ones, the like old junky silver ones. Right. And I said, I ordered the black ones. He goes, yeah, we don't have those. I'm like, well, but that's what I ordered. He goes, yeah, we never get those. He goes, because you know, he was a contractor. He didn't work for Comcast.
Right.
He said, but you can just take these to a Comcast service center and swap them out. So I take them all. I take the remotes. I go to the service center. I go, yeah, I want to swap these out for the black boxes. She goes, we don't have those here. I'm like, well, how am I supposed to get them? That's what I ordered. She goes, I don't know of any way you can guarantee getting those. I'm like, what do you mean? How do people get them then? She goes, it's just luck of the draw. I'm like, what draw? Can I put my name in a hat?
How do I get in the draw?
I mean, just tell me something that I can use here. She goes, well, I'll put in a request to have them sent out to you. She goes, I can't guarantee that's what you're going to get though. I'm like, okay, whatever. So now I'm waiting for the new box to show up. So even if I record it, it's going to be gone. You know what I mean?
Right.
Unless I watch it like right now. But that probably ain't going to happen. Not for 6 hours, anyway.
I'm sure it'll come out on DVD.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. But yeah, my best entertainment moment, definitely Portal 2. Yeah. It is
that would
just
be my
so,
second.
So
that would
good.
Be my 1.5.
And you know what? I actually like the game at least 3 or 4 times more than I did originally because of the part that I'm in now.
Right.
Because I love where they went with it. I love the story that's being revealed. I love... visually how this part is different than the others. Play mechanics wise, there's a bunch of new stuff that's been added. There's 3 new elements that have been added into the play mechanics now in this second part of the game. And it's just such a clever, well-made game. And it's just, you know, it's like I was a little disappointed when the Left 4 Dead games came out because I really didn't like them.
Right.
And I was kind of like, oh, man, Valve sort of let me down. I mean, you know, because they make games for me.
Right.
They don't make them for other people. They make them for me. And so I was a little disappointed, but not anymore. This is just so cool. Yeah. And like I said,
you know
really...
what's great? It's one of those games that when you start playing, you totally... it pulls you into that world.
Yeah, like absolutely.
You know how some games aren't able to do that? In fact, most games aren't able to do
right.
that. But this... like, you totally feel like you're in that world.
And what's so cool is, like, the whole facility, you know, it's like hundreds of years, like 200 years after the original game. And so the whole facility is, like, ramshackled and everything. And when GLaDOS comes back online, I don't think anyone's going to be surprised by that. So, you know, I'm not giving anything away, really, that probably anyone didn't know already. But when she comes back online and she starts meddling with you, It's so cool, like, all the little things that happen. Like, you'll go into a test chamber, and, like, a bunch of the panels are out of place and everything. Right. And then these robot arms kind of, like, pull them back into the wall and stuff. And there's just so many cool little details.
Yeah.
Things that other people have, you know, scribbled or drawn on the walls, you know, back in little secret areas and everything. And, God, it's just, there's so much great detail in the game.
Yeah, and, you know, a thing I like about it that Valve is just the best at, and it's... You know, when we've talked about Half-Life before, I said it's one of the reasons I love it, is that even though it's linear, you totally feel like you're discovering things
on
your own.
Like in
not
the part,
like you're being led there.
Right.
You're actually...
In the part where you're breaking out of the facility, you're like going through all these places, and you really feel like you're finding your way there, but there's no other way to go, really.
Right.
But it's just done in such a great way. And, you know... It'd be interesting to go back and really pay attention to it and see how much of it is done with like lighting and stuff like that. Visual cues that just happen to be in there that draw your eye in a certain direction so you know where to go.
Right.
It's just so brilliantly done. And I can't say enough good things about it. I can't wait till you get past the part that you're on because I really want to see what you're...
Let's wrap this up.
Okay. All right, cool. So I don't have anything else. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for your mail. Keep it coming.
And like I said, it's going to be a little while. I'm actually going out of...
Town.
Country.
Yes.
Going to Italy for almost
going out
weeks.
Of the country. Is this your first time out of North America?
It is. Yes, it is.
Wow.
Yeah, exciting.
Big things.
So I will see if maybe I can post some stuff on the fan page.
Yeah.
I think I'm only able to do it on my page from the iPad.
Yeah.
I'll see what I can do about that. But yeah. Otherwise, so, I'll post some stuff.
Yeah. And
just stay in touch.
Yeah. That would be good. And you know, what would be cool is see if you can report on some, you know, Italian entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, post some stuff having to do with entertainment in Italy.
Okay.
Whether it's music or TV. You've got to watch TV while you're in your hotel room. I know you're not going to be spending a lot of time in your hotel rooms, but you got to watch some TV. It's so funny.
Okay.
Some of Italian TV is just hilarious. It's hilarious. But I'm sure you'll have an excellent time. And thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.